All right, everybody, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Our subject is the end and the beginning. This is the last service before the year's end. And this is the time when we look back over the year and we thank God for the things that He blessed us with. And we thank Him for the blessings that we deem to be good. And we thank Him for the blessings that caused us great sorrow. And it's because we know that God is working all things together for the good of His people, according to His eternal purpose. So the good and what we deem not to be good, He's working all that together for our good. And so as the Scripture says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the will of God that we thank Him, and whatever He has brought to pass in our life is the will of God concerning us. It's what He's brought to us, so we thank Him. And at the same time, we look ahead. We start looking to the new year. Some make goals for the new year. I don't tend to make New Year's resolutions, but that word resolute or resolved is what Paul said when he said, I resolved not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's my continuous resolution, is to know Christ and know more of Christ and to preach only Christ and Him crucified. That's my resolve. But when we come to this time of the year, and it's the year's end, I start thinking about the end. The end after the end. There's an end coming, and no man knows the time when it's coming. It could be 1,000 years from today. It could be today. We don't know. But we do know this, there is an end coming. There is an end coming. Look here in verse 19, give you a little context. I'll read a few verses before I get to my text. Verse 19, he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. In other words, he's the first to arise, so that those that have now died are going to arise and follow Him. Verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And this is true of all men. All men, those who believe Christ and those who don't, all shall be made alive. We're going to all continue either with the Lord or cast out from the Lord's presence. But we're going to all be raised and we're going to all live. Now listen, he says, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Now here's where our text begins. Then cometh the end. Then cometh the end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So what he's saying here is when Christ has finished everything, when he's accomplished everything the Father sent him to accomplish, and he's delivered the kingdom up to God, then cometh the end. When all the saints are called, when Christ has returned, when he's resurrected all and that's complete, when judgment is over, when he's delivered up the kingdom to the Father, then cometh the end. Now this is the end that Acts 3:21 calls the times of the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. God's been talking about this end from the beginning. Ephesians 1:10 calls it the dispensation of the fullness of times. It's when God shall gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Now this end is when our Lord Jesus Christ has put all His enemies under His feet and He's delivered up every single chosen, redeemed, regenerated child of God to the Father. This is the end. We'll see here, first of all, the Lord Jesus must reign until the end. It says, verse 25, He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet. Then we'll see that this end will come when Christ has delivered up the kingdom to the Father. He says, then cometh the end, verse 24, then cometh the end when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. The kingdom is His people, made up of His people. And then we'll see lastly that every believer then will behold the end for which God made all things. We're going to behold the end, the very end thing that God made everything. He made everything for this purpose. And here it is, verse 28. When all things shall be subdued unto Christ, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him to put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. There's the reason. Now, first of all, the Lord Jesus must reign. He must reign until the end comes. He says there that He must reign till He's put all enemies under His feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Christ Jesus, the God-man, our mediator, must reign. He must reign. First of all, He must reign because He's God. The Son of God, Christ the Lord, is God, and God must reign. That's the very definition of God. He reigns. And Christ Jesus, the God-man, seated at God's right hand right now, must reign. What does that mean? Here's what it means. It's speaking of Christ when it says, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. That's Christ Jesus, God our Savior. Psalm 135:6 says, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven, in the earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. That means He reigns everywhere, over all, at all times, because He's God. He's God. He must reign because His dominion is the reward of His obedience. Our Lord Jesus Christ came with a mission when He came here. He came to fulfill the will of God His Father. And that's what He did. He came and accomplished everything He promised the Father in eternity. He fulfilled all the prophets. He fulfilled all the law. On behalf of His people, He lived a perfect life and died a perfect death, justifying all His people from our sins, redeeming us from the curse of the law, putting away our sins forever, so that God will never again bring them up. That's what He accomplished. Our Lord Jesus accomplished declaring the righteousness of God. He accomplished declaring God just, fulfilling His law, honoring His law. He accomplished declaring that God Himself is the justifier. We don't get glory for justifying ourselves. God is the justifier. He's just and He is the justifier. And so because he accomplished the will of the Father, as the Father promised, God also highly exalted him. And he's given him all power and all dominion over all as the God-man. And therefore, he must reign. He must reign. In Psalm 2:8, God said, "Ask of me." This is when he raised Christ to his right hand. He said, "Ask of me, I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." Romans 14:9 says, this is why. For to this end, this is the end purpose that Christ both died and rose and revived, is that he might be Lord, both of the dead and of the living. So he must reign. He must reign. Go to Ephesians 1, and we'll see this and what God did when he raised him. And what Paul's declaring here is the same power it took to raise Christ from the dead is the power it takes to raise you and me from death to spiritual life. He says, Ephesians 1:20, this is the working of his mighty power, the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He says there, he put all things under his feet. That's what our text said. He must reign because God put all things under his feet. So he's sovereign, absolutely sovereign, to do exactly what pleases the Father. Exactly what pleases Him. He has no problem bringing the gospel to His people, causing it to cross the path of His lost sheep. He has no problem doing that. He has no problem quickening His lost sheep to life. He has no problem drawing us to Him and bringing us irresistibly to bow to Him and believe on Him. He's sovereign. This is the God-man mediator, and He must reign. And this is why he must reign, because the salvation of all God's elect and the glory of God is all dependent upon him reigning. They're connected. The glory of God, God receiving all glory, and the salvation of all God's elect, they're vitally connected. God will not have all the glory unless all his people are saved. And all of this has been entrusted to the Son. And so he must reign. John 17:2, Christ prayed this prayer to the Father. He said, As thou hast given him power over all flesh, speaking of himself, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. This is what he will be able to say. He had finished it then when he prayed that prayer. But this is what he will say when the end comes. I have glorified you. I have given eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. I brought them to know you, Father. I brought them to know me, in whom is life eternal. See, his glory, God's glory, and the salvation of his people they're connected. And we're the fullness of Christ. So, for his body to be complete, for God the Father to be glorified, Christ must reign, saving all his people from our sins. So right now, everything that's happening in this world is under the power, under the dominion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. He's put all things under his feet. Verse 24 says, he shall put down all rule and all authority and all power. Verse 25 says, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, the last one being death. That's when the end will come. It'll only come when Christ has graciously, effectually conquered everyone that He redeemed. We're enemies in our minds by wicked works. We're His enemies. We consider Him our enemy. And we're part of those enemies that He's going to conquer. Every one of His elect people, He must conquer them, and He will. And then all those who are rebellious and who will not walk in the light God's given them, it'll be their own fault. And He will conquer all those enemies. And the last enemy that'll be conquered is death. That means He conquers our flesh. That's our number one enemy. He conquers our flesh. He conquers Satan. He conquers this world. He conquers all sinners in this world. He conquers our sin. And the last enemy that He will have conquered will be death. Death. Judicial death. He conquered it by making us the righteousness of God. So there's no more guilt. Judicially, legally, we can't die. He conquered our spiritual death when He regenerated us so that there's a new man in us that is eternally alive and shall never die. And He's going to raise our mortal body the same way. And He's going to conquer physical death when He resurrects us. So He conquered the last enemy will be death. So when we come to the end of a year like this, it's good to think about the fact that one day soon, just as sure as this year came to its end, one day soon Christ is coming. And this end we're talking about right here is going to come. It's going to come. Just as sure as this year came to its end, that year's coming. That end's coming. Secondly, when the end comes, the Lord Jesus Christ shall deliver up the kingdom to God His Father. The end will not come until He has delivered the kingdom to His Father. He says there in verse 24, "Then cometh the end when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power." Verse 28 says, "And when all things shall be subdued unto Him." When all things shall be subdued unto Him. When it says there, it says, "Then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him." Let me tell you what that does not mean. It does not mean that Christ is not God. It does not mean that. We know John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's the same Word that was made flesh. That's Christ. He's God. It doesn't mean He's not God. It does not mean that the Son of God is in any way inferior to the Father. They're equal. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That's the Father, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Holy Ghost. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's in no way inferior to the Father. And nor does it mean that Christ will ever cease to be the prophet, priest, and king over His church and His kingdom. He'll never cease being the prophet, priest, and king over His church and His kingdom. Listen to this. In Hebrews 1:8, God said to His Son, He said unto the Son, "Thy throne," there's His kingdom, there's His kingship, "Thy throne, O God," He's speaking to the Son, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." He'll never stop being king. "A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom." Righteousness means He is the prophet and He is the priest of His people. He'll never stop being the prophet, priest, and king of His people. So it doesn't mean that. Verse 24 explains what it means. It says, "Christ shall deliver up the kingdom to God, to the Father, even as He promised the Father He would." And that'll be the final work of our Lord Jesus Christ. That'll be the final work of Jehovah's servant. That'll be the final work of Christ as a servant to the Father. That'll be the final work of Christ as a surety and mediator of the covenant. That'll be the final work. The shepherd going to present his sheep. That'll be the final word. The Savior will present His church. The Son will present all His brethren. The King will present His whole kingdom to God the Father. That'll be the last thing He does in His covenant work that He promised the Father He would do. Scripture says He loved the church and He gave Himself for it that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself. That's what you see there. When you see the Son of God, Christ, presenting the church to God His Father, that's Him presenting the church to Himself. They're one. They're one. So they're not divided. That's not what it's saying. And Christ will say to the Father, He's going to say, "Behold, I and the children whom Thou hast given Me." He's going to say, "Of all that You've given Me, I've lost none of them. I didn't lose one of them. Here they all are, every one of them. I redeemed them. I sent the Spirit, regenerated them. I resurrected them. I've glorified them. And I've kept them all. Here they are right now. Unblameable, unreprovable, holy, righteous, in Your sight, Father. Here's every one of them You entrusted with Me." And then He's going to say this, "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they might behold My glory which Thou hast given Me, for You loved Me from the foundation of the world." And God's going to say to His Son, and He's going to say to every single believer standing there with His Son, He's going to say, "Well done, My good and faithful servant. Well done. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's what He's talking about. And here's the last thing. Then we're going to see, you and I who believe, we're going to see the purpose for which God made this world. Do you ever wonder about the secret of life? What's the secret of life? Here it is. This is why God made everything. This is why God has upheld everything. This is why God's going to bring everything to this end right here. This is why. Verse 28 at the end says that God may be all in all. In the end, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, are going to be seen. He's a spirit. God can't be seen. He's spirit. But we're going to see Him in that day. And we're going to see Him with flesh and blood, glorified flesh and bone like we have. We're going to see Him in the person of Christ Jesus, the same one that walked this earth. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. And we're going to see the triune God in Christ. When He says there that the Son will be subject to Him, it simply means His work of being the mediator will be finished. He won't be that anymore. He won't be the mediator anymore. There'll be no need for that. He won't be the surety anymore. There won't be a need for that. Just like you and I won't have faith anymore. We won't need it. We won't have hope anymore. We won't need it. We'll see Him as He is. And all we'll see the triune God in the face of Christ Jesus the Lord. It means that God will be all in all. He'll be all in all. Look at Ephesians 2:7. I want you to see this. Ephesians 2:7. Here's why He saved us right here. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now you think about this, brethren. When we come to this end, and we behold our triune God in the face of Christ Jesus, face to face, we're going to know Him just like He's known us. We're going to know Him. And He's bestowed so many riches on us by His grace. It's going to be ages and ages and ages and ages without end, learning what rich grace He's bestowed upon us. That's a lot of grace. You mean in eternity, in all the ages of eternity, He's still going to be showing us the exceeding riches of His grace throughout all eternity. We're going to be learning what He did for us. I don't know, I don't know what all that's going to include, but I sort of feel like we're going to see things about ourselves and about our life where we mourned and we were sorrowful and we were down and something just broke our heart so badly. And we're going to see what rich grace it was that God performed for us by bringing that into our life and causing us to go through that. And we're going to think, why did I ever mourn? Why did I ever mourn? If I'd have seen what He was doing, if I could have just believed truly that all things, He's working all things together for my good, if I could have just believed that, I'd have never shed a tear. Everything at every moment in our life, we're going to see it perfectly and see all the grace He was bestowing upon us. And you're going to look back on it and say, there was nothing bad that ever happened to me. Every single thing He ever did for me was just riches upon riches upon riches of grace. And most of all, we're going to behold what He did for us in Christ. And see Christ and know what He really... There won't be any arguing then. There won't be any debate then. We'll know completely what Christ accomplished, what He did at Calvary, how He did it, what He accomplished. We'll know everything about it perfectly. I guarantee you. There'll be some there that were wrong. There'll be some there that were right. And we'll just all say amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad He did it the way He did it. But we're going to all bow. We're going to all bow. And we're going to rejoice forever and forever and forever. Then our triune God in Christ shall be all in all. He'll be all our food and clothing and shelter. He'll be all our joy, all our peace, all our life, all our glory. He'll be our light. We won't have a need of the sun. He'll be all our light. He'll be all things in all His people. He'll be everything to us. Then God's predestinating purpose shall be accomplished. We shall praise His glory. We'll praise God and His glory who first trusted in Christ. That's what we're going to praise Him most of all for, that He trusted this whole work into the hand of His Son. Now, sinner, you're sitting here without Christ. Would you enjoy this with us? Do you want to come to this end and behold the triune God in Christ and be with Him for all eternity and be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth perfectly without sin forever? If you're sitting here without Him, that doesn't appeal to you. If you haven't been born of Him, that doesn't appeal to you at all. You don't want to go to hell. Of course, you would rather go to a place called heaven. But to be with Him, that's what believers are looking at. This is what our heaven is, to be with Christ, to know Christ, to be with Him and see Him and know Him. Well, let me tell you this. This is the time right now to prepare to meet God. If you knew that December 31st was going to be the end we're talking about right here, would you just hear this message and say, well, I got time. I got a day and a half, a couple of days to go. No, I believe you would be listening with just earnest intent, looking up every scripture, wanting to know. And then I believe you'd go home and you'd search what you heard. You'd want to find out. I want to know who this one is. If there's no coming to God except through Christ Jesus the Lord, then I need to know Him. And you'd have some earnestness about you now. You'd be diligently looking for Him. Don't wait till it's too late to look for Him. Now's the time to give that sort of diligence right now. We don't know the time. We don't know the time. Go to Psalm 90. I want to read just two scriptures and I'm going to close. Psalm 90. I encourage you to go home and read this whole psalm. But I want you to just read something here. Read verse 4. 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it's past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning, they're like grass which grows up. He's talking about sinners like us. In the morning, it flourishes. Grass flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it's cut down and withereth. That's you and me. For we're consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that's told. The days of our years are 70 years. 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it's soon cut off, and we fly away. He's saying, our life is short. It's very short. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Oh, Lord, this is what I want. I want Him to teach me to number my days, that I might apply my heart to true wisdom. Don't you? Some of you, every year, you say, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to start this first day of the year, and I'm going to read the Bible all the way through. And you stop about a quarter of the way, or maybe you get halfway through and you stop. This year, start out where you stopped last year. But all that He would teach us to seek His Word and read His Word diligently, seeking Him in it, because there's wisdom. Whatever it is that causes us to gradually stop doing it and we give our attention to these other things, that's not wisdom. This is wisdom. This is wisdom. Lord, teach me to number my days and apply my hearts to wisdom. Verse 13, return, O Lord, how long? Can you say that? Can you earnestly desire for the Lord to return? Some sitting here, when I said it could be today, you thought, I hope it's not. Some sitting here really and truly thought, I hope it is. Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. Call us and save us by your mercy early in our life, when we're young, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we've seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants. That's what we need. We need to see His work. And let your glory appear unto your children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. For you who believe, listen to this. This I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. And surely as this year ended, this world's going to end, and everything in it, because it's temporary. This is not it. This is not the end. This is just passing away. It's going to all end soon. Go to Revelation 21. I said the subject of this sermon is the end and the beginning. Usually you have the beginning and the end. Not with God, it works the opposite way. We come to the end and then the beginning. And this beginning never ends. And here it is, right here. Tuesday will be the new year. And we'll see things continue pretty much like they did before that day came. But here is where we're going to see everything made new right here. Look, Revelation 21:1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, no more division. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We like to say, well, our loved one passed away. No, they didn't pass away. All this stuff passed away from them. They went to the beginning. They didn't pass away. We passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Now there's newness. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But listen now, for those to whom this does not matter, and you go on one year after the other until you die, here's what it says. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that never ends. I pray God make us apply our hearts to wisdom. Amen. Let's stand together, brethren. Father, we thank you for this word. We ask you to apply it to our hearts now. Apply it how you need it to be applied, how only you can apply it. Forgive us, Lord, our sins. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.